Join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club during the 50 days of Easter, and we'll send you Pastor Will Wheaton's new children's book, They Shall Never Perish, in addition to other membership benefits like shirts, books, broadcast transcripts, and advertising for your confessional Lutheran church. Find out more about our monthly or annual giving program on the donate page at issuesetc.org or by giving us a call, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
The killing of 16-year-old Mikayla Bryant by the Columbus police is tragic. She was a child. We're thinking of her friends and family and the communities that are hurting and grieving her loss. We know that police violence disproportionately impacts Black and Latino people and communities, and that Black women and girls, like Black men and boys, experience higher rates of police violence. We also know that there are particular vulnerabilities that children in foster care like Mikayla face. And her death came, as you noted, just as America was hopeful of a step forward after the traumatic and exhausting trial of Derek Chauvin and the verdict that was reached. So our focus is on working to address systemic racism and implicit bias head on, and of course to passing laws and legislation that will put much needed reforms into place at police departments around the country.
That is White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki reacting to a Columbus, Ohio woman shot and killed by a police officer during a fight between two Black women. Well, she mentioned systemic racism, implicit bias, all the terms were there. Now, did she explicitly connect that incident with racism, even though race does not appear to have been a factor there? Did she explicitly connect that incident with this amorphous term, systemic racism, that, well, it's hard to tell what it means sometimes. It just gets thrown around and sometimes accepted without argument or without conclusion. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Our series on cultural Marxism continues. We're going to be talking about getting pastors to wake up about woke ideology. Pastor Paul Dare joins us. He's senior pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Alexandria, Minnesota, and recently concluded a Bible study series on godless religion. Pastor Dare, welcome back.
Todd, thank you for having me back.
We've been discussing critical race theory and cultural Marxism and woke ideology for about a year now on this program, and I have noticed some resistance on the part of my fellow Lutheran pastors on the subject. They either think it's irrelevant or it's a passing fad, or they don't believe that, adamantly don't believe that their people, their congregation members, are encountering any of this in their everyday lives. How would you correct these ideas on the part of these pastors?
Well, the pastors, of course, they have an absolute heart for their people. And, you know, pastors are going to respond to what they're hearing from their people, or, of course, pastors are not going to respond if they're not hearing something from their people. What I would suggest is that everybody, all folks, are encountering cultural Marxism, and that it's impossible to not encounter it because it is the preeminent ideology of our time, meaning right now. It is impossible to avoid it. Now, most of the time, I think what may be happening is folks just roll their eyes, or they say, well, this is really stupid, or, boy, the world has gone crazy, things like this, but then dismissing what they're seeing. So I'll give you an example. So what are some of the things that make news? I mean, one of the big stories of a few weeks ago, Dr. Seuss is racist. And they see this, and they're like, well, what in the world is this all about? And, you know, it doesn't make a lot of sense, and so you just dismiss it. Mr. Potato Head is suddenly offensive. Well, what is this about? This is crazy. I don't understand. Those are a couple of pop culture issues, but there are also serious issues as well. Maybe, just maybe, they hear terms like whiteness or woke or critical race theory. Maybe they hear these things, and, you know, I'm not sure I know what those things are, but it doesn't seem to impact my daily life. But what I'm suggesting is if pastors could maybe help their folks see, hey, what you're seeing here is something called cultural Marxism, and this is how it is impacting our society. Take a big one. Right now, of course, we just concluded in the United States the biggest trial since O.J. Simpson, probably. It's just my opinion. And he had the Derek Chauvin trial, and he was found guilty. And the President of the United States, he then, President Biden, afterwards has his press conference, and he states, even though racism actually did not really come up in the trial, he mentions that we have this big problem with systemic racism and that we need to fight against systemic racism as a country. And just a couple days ago, Press Secretary Psaki, she had basically the exact same comment. So right there, what is this thing called systemic racism? Where does it come from? What does it mean that if we as a country are called to fight it, maybe we even ask the question, do we even want to fight it? What is this thing? And then if we do our work, and see, this is where I was at a year or so ago, if we really do our work and dig in, we realize that this is coming from something called cultural Marxism. And what it really is trying to then have the entire country divided into oppressors or oppressed. You're one of the two. And thus you pit people against one another. And you even have to get rid of the entire system, if you want to call America a system and a governance and the like, because the whole system from its very inception is racist. So here's the question, Todd. Is overturning the entire system that the country is built upon, is that going to impact the lives of your people? Is having your children raised in schools that are going to be teaching them that they are racists unless they fight against this system, is that going to impact your life? Is having one thing after another declared to be evil or bad at an increasingly alarming rate, does that impact you? Or are you just going to say, well, I live in this, wherever you might live, that it doesn't really impact my community. This doesn't really matter to me. That's a question I would hope pastors would step in and say, hey, this is a problem. Especially, I would suggest, on a theological level, if you want me to go a little farther.
I want to come back to that, but I want to explore this just a little bit more. I think sometimes well-meaning pastors don't want to believe that this is pervasive as it is. You're talking about the way that our lawmakers, our president, thinks about the nation. It also is in our schools, our public schools, definitely in academia, where it began, and it is now in the corporate boardroom. Therefore, it's in the workplaces of our people. But when you see the scope of it, as you have described it here, Pastor Dare, sometimes the pastor's reaction is, you know, I don't want to believe that this enormous problem actually exists because it's going to make my life so much harder, make my job so much harder. What are your thoughts?
Satan's good at what he does. I agree, and I understand. But, you know, I know you mentioned kind of these corporate places, but this is in the home. So I just had lunch with a gentleman, and he was telling me a story of his two sister-in-laws who are not speaking because of a conversation just a couple days ago on the phone, where it ended with the one calling the other a white privileged woman. I have a text from yesterday of, again, divisiveness in the family, where one person said that Derek Chauvin deserved a fair trial. That's it. Just he deserved a fair trial. That was the entirety of the comment. And the person was a racist and terrible person for saying that. I get one thing after another from folks just like this that's tearing families apart. I think I mentioned on our last conversation a mom who was looking forward to her daughter coming home from college, and her daughter came home and then was just so upset at the, what I would call, not necessarily even conservative ideas, but some basic ideas her parents had about life and government, and basically it turned the entire trip home into a disaster. And there's one thing after another just like that. So, yes, it's out there. Of course, if it's in our universities and schools and boardrooms, it's going to get places, but it's everywhere. It divides families. And for pastors, I think, to really get in there and understand that and to maybe help people of their congregation see, hey, here's where this is coming from. This is what's happening. This is the ideology that is behind this kind of divisiveness. Todd, can I give you a story, kind of a big story that's out there right now that I think is another story that just really helps explain what this other ideology, this cultural Marxist ideology is?
Sure.
Okay, so we had, upon the conclusion of the Derek Chauvin trial, a lot of people might know that in Columbus, Ohio, there was a teenage girl who was shot and killed by an officer. And what had happened is that she was wielding a knife towards another teenager, and both of these young ladies were black and the officer was white. And he shot her before she could stab and possibly then kill this other young lady. And this has actually become controversial, whether this was a racist act or not. Now, again, so anyone looking at this should say, now, wait a minute. He just saved somebody's life. But instead, there's many people who are out there who are saying otherwise, including some leading Black Lives Matter leaders. In fact, I want to read one, a comment by name of Bree Newsom, who is active, very active in Black Lives Matter. And her comment on the situation was this: teenagers have been having fights, including knives, for eons. We do not need police to address these situations by showing up at the scene and using a weapon. Y'all need help, is what she said. And then she included this. This one is even more interesting. And I'm looking at it now. I wanted you to know this. I'm horrified by this comment. But if you're just trying to understand, from the perspective of trying to understand, this is very important. She continued, "Everyone should be frightened that the ruling white elite have done such a thoroughly successful job of not only disconnecting us from the means of basic sufficiency, but convincing us that we need armed white officers to manage our children and communities." All right. So, yes, she has this idea that teenagers having knife fights in the street is normal. People have been doing this for eons. All right, so that's disturbing enough as it is. But here's the thing. Where is she coming from? Because from our perspective, I think we look at this and say, not only is this insane, this is heartless. But from the perspective of a cultural Marxist believes that the problem is the system and that personal responsibility has very little to do with your plot or plight in life, okay? So in other words, it's not that these teenagers are responsible for the fight that was taking place, including the knives and including the fact that one was shot and killed. They're not responsible. In cultural Marxism, you are a victim of the system that, in this case, race is used as a weapon that has been set up by than white people. Okay? So listen to what she says. She looked at this scene, and there's no responsibility on the part of the young ladies involved. It is, everyone should be frightened that the ruling white elite have done such a thoroughly successful job of not only disconnecting us from the means of self-sufficiency, but convincing us we need armed white officers to manage our children and community. Oh, and then she finished it with the word frightening. So she looks at this scene as a Marxist who says these teenagers are just the victim of a white supremacist system that has been set up. Along those same lines, you know, a lot of folks, a big criticism of Black Lives Matter as an organization, okay, is they might say something like, Chicago has had 900 shootings of people who are black so far this year, which I think is the latest number. And they'll say, where's Black Lives Matter? They don't care. But the problem is that, again, try to think like a cultural Marxist. It's not trying to save an individual person. It's that this result is just the part of victimhood, of an oppressive system. And so they are trying, in this warped idea, to care by overthrowing the system. And this is what I'm trying to help a lot of folks who are Christians see. I'm not agreeing with this. Please understand. I'm trying just to explain the thought that I think strikes us as so warped. It's not that they don't care. It's that they're trying to overthrow the oppressive, quote, white system of supremacy that is causing all of this. People aren't responsible for their actions. They are just victims of a system.
So how would a Christian worldview see exactly the same situation? Pastor Paul Dare is our guest. It's our series on cultural Marxism. We're talking about pastors waking up to woke ideology. Stay tuned. Join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club during the 50 days of Easter, and we'll send you Pastor Will Wheaton's new children's book, They Shall Never Perish, in addition to other membership benefits like shirts, books, broadcast transcripts, and advertising for your confessional Lutheran church. Find out more about our monthly or annual giving program on the donate page at issuesetc.org or by giving us a call, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Memorization, that boring thing your pastor made you do during confirmation. Why do we do memorization? What value does it have when I can just look it up on the internet? Well, Pastor Brian Heller, chaplain at Lutheran Senior Services in St. Louis, explains why memory matters in the April issue of the Lutheran Witness. He talks about the great value as you age and get older of having these things, the Word of God, ingrained in your mind forever. Pick up your copy by visiting cph.org/witness today or visit our website, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you look at the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Do you know any military veterans in your church or community? Do you have a passion to support and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Operation Barnabas is for you. Called by Christ's love, Operation Barnabas engages, empowers, and equips LCMS faith communities to provide hope, healing, and support to military-connected persons living in their community. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces.
Lord, help us ever to retain the Catechism's doctrine plain.
What makes a church unique? Perhaps we should ask what makes a church faithful. Calvary Lutheran Church of Elgin, Illinois, continually learns Christ's doctrine, simply explained in the Small Catechism. This doctrine teaches us Christ crucified, who even today comes and serves his baptized children in word and sacrament to forgive, strengthen, and teach us for daily life. This, Christ's own work among us, makes and keeps Calvary Lutheran Church faithful. Visit us at clce.org.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Bethlehem Lutheran, Fairborn, Ohio. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. Grace Lutheran, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Emmanuel Lutheran, Osceola, Iowa. Mount Olive Lutheran, Cleveland Heights, Ohio. Peace Lutheran, Sussex, Wisconsin. Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Snohomish, Washington. St. Mark Lutheran, Waco, Texas. St. Timothy Lutheran, Dayton, Ohio. And Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.
Thank you.
It's our series on cultural Marxism with Pastor Paul Dare. This is Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're proud to add Colorado baker Jack Phillips of Masterpiece Cake Shop to the speaking lineup for the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Jack Phillips will be joined by Mark and Molly Hemingway, Robert George, Brian Wolfmiller, Larry Rast, and Will Whedon. The premier conference for Christian laity is Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. Our occupancy is currently limited by the state of Illinois to 150 attendees. We're hopeful that this limit will be increased. You can register to be placed on a waiting list for in-person attendance at issuesetc.org or give us a call, 618-223-8385, Making the Case July 23rd and 24th in Chicago. Pastor Dare, before the break, you were talking about that tragic situation of the police shooting, and the woke interpretation is that people aren't responsible for their actions, they're just victims. How would a Christian worldview evaluate that very same situation?
Well, first thing again is that Scripture, of course, we are responsible for our actions. All right, so we have to start there with that. That, yeah, okay, we're not saying that oppression doesn't exist. Oppression absolutely exists. And where that is, we want to help. You know, there are victims. The story of the Good Samaritan. Now, I'm going to suggest the Good Samaritan is, in fact, Jesus Christ, and I think the correct interpretation of that parable. But at the same time, look, getting in there, that we love, we show kindness and compassion. You go to the early church, you know, and who's taking care of the widows? And, you know, through history, who sets up the orphanages and the people who are left? Those are Christians who do that, who love the individual, just as, you know, it's Good Shepherd Sunday, the Good Shepherd who goes after just one lost little lamb and will even lay down his life. I mean, look at, so here you have a pattern of Christian, but in the Marxist world, it's okay, you're a victim, now I'm going to pit you against the oppressor who caused this, not that you're responsible, okay, but who caused this, and now we're going to create this division. So we look at it differently. Now, we also as Christians understand that, yeah, a lot of times we are responsible for our actions. We all, like sheep, have wandered. Again, maybe I have a little bit of my Good Shepherd sermon in my mind right now, you know, as the Sunday comes upon us here, that we absolutely, we stand in church and we say, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities. I've done this. We've seen that it didn't go well for Adam when he said, the woman you put here caused this, blaming both Eve and God for his sin. We believe in personal responsibility and the consequences of then our actions. That's something that Christians believe that is almost entirely dismissed in cultural Marxism, as can be seen by this amazing story. And there's almost a story like this every day, this story I'm referring to of the incident in Columbus with the shooting. There is no comment or words from so many folks that the folks involved in the argument, the two young ladies, bear responsibility. It's astonishing. In fact, in some of the stories and in tweets, that the lady who was shot and killed, that she was even holding a knife. And it's like, well, what's happened here? And again, pastors might want to be aware of this. If suddenly personal responsibility is thrown out, well, that has a big impact on the ministry of the law and the gospel, both.
One thing I've noticed about cultural Marxism in our conversations is it tends to abstract these situations into those categories, those broad categories of oppressed and oppressor, and tends to, and this goes along with what you say, they're always focused on the system, not on the particular, as they would say, victims. It's not really about caring about the victims, it's caring about the system. But a tendency to take every situation and saying, instead of saying, why was this girl wielding a knife? Why was this fight taking place in the first place? What could the police officer have done? What were the possibilities there in that situation? It just immediately kind of erases all of those particular questions and goes immediately to the abstractions.
Yeah, no, and this is part and parcel with cultural Marxism. In fact, Marxism as a whole. Everybody is identified with whatever group they are part of. And if you're part of an oppressed group, you are, if you will, absolved of your sins. Whereas a Christian, of course, is going to want to repent, and we find our absolution under the cross of Jesus Christ and Him alone. In cultural Marxism, your absolution, if you will, is found in your oppressed group. And thus, then, also the cause of whatever has happened is found in the oppressor group. And so, in this warped way, again, someone on the cultural Marxist side of thinking could say, well, I am caring by trying to overthrow the evil system.
What kind of questions would be the center of a conversation if you were speaking to pastors about this issue, trying to open their eyes to the fact of cultural Marxism?
Well, you know, I would try, I think, here, I guess maybe the best, Todd, as I back myself up, is to say, here's how I came across this. I knew there was something wrong. And you know, I talked to a few of my folks just here at church just the other day about this as well. And what they said is they were feeling uncomfortable with certain conversations, meaning just out in their life, encountering, you know, the what do you call the water cooler type conversations. They were upset by certain things they saw on TV, but they didn't know what it was. And again, the easy thing to do is to just say, oh, man, our world is warped, or boy, this is really going downhill fast. Yeah. But then to take the step, what's going on, and to start learning. And now I get these comments like, now I see it, and I actually have started the Bible study again the second time, and I'm gonna say this. This is a Monday night Bible study where we are now just under 100 people for a Monday night Bible study. Todd, I can tell you, I have never had anywhere close to 100 people for a Monday night Bible study. That has not happened in my time as a pastor. And I just start by saying these things to the folks, and maybe pastors could think through this too. I just say, have you heard the words systemic racism, privilege, politically correct, woke, anti-racist, social justice? And everybody nods their head. I say to them, have you ever wondered why the world is more divided along the lines of race, gender, religion, and income? And everybody starts laughing. Everyone just starts laughing. They're like, oh, yeah. Everyone can see this because they know it's not just in the work but on TV, but it's in their families. You know, have you ever wondered why it seems like everyone's in a rush to be part of a victim or victim group? And everyone starts laughing again, and I'm like, okay, but why? And, you know, they're like, yeah, why? I don't want to be a victim. And then we start learning, and it really is quite an eye-opener for folks. And I think if pastors, I think it has to start with pastors really start learning as to what this is and what's behind it and what the effects are. I might add, a lot of times we look at civic effects, but what's the effect on the soul of a person and the messages they're receiving? And some people actually start repenting that they are racist when they aren't racist at all. Some people might get bitter and want vengeance because you're calling me names that I'm not. Boy, people might get, you know, filled with despair that they see people they love dividing and separating from them. You know, people might fear as they see a place they love suddenly changing and transforming before them into something they don't recognize, like, or they just somehow instinctively know is wrong. I mean, these are pastoral issues.
We're talking about cultural Marxism and getting pastors to wake up about woke ideology. Pastor Paul Dare is our guest. On the other side, how would he warn against overreaction amidst increased racial tensions? The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for April is a devotional resource for middle school and high school teens titled Words of Strength and Promises. Topics include addiction, anxiety, being Christian, peer pressure, sexuality, and more. Learn more about Words of Strength and Promises at IssuesETC.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. A great confirmation and graduation gift, Words of Strength and Promises, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
I'm Chaplain Sean Denzer, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Congregations work hard to keep the Word of Christ dwelling richly in His disciples now and into eternal life. We work to help and support that effort. Learn more at lcms.org/worship. You'll find resources on the church year, Bible studies on the hymns of the day, audio helps for learning to sing our services, and look for worship planning resources to find the latest from LCMS Worship. That's lcms.org/worship. May the Word of Christ dwell richly in you.
Declaring to you the whole counsel of God, you're listening to Issues Etc.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue feasting on 1 Corinthians with divisions in the body, Christ, God's power and wisdom, boast in the Lord, preaching the crucified and the Spirit's wisdom. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas is now enrolling for the coming school year. What makes us unique? A confessional Lutheran school offering a classical education for preschool through 12th grades. Faith Lutheran School features rigorous classes that incorporate a focus on wisdom, truth, virtue, and the historic Christian faith. Live online classes are also available for high school students worldwide. To learn more about Faith Lutheran School or to submit an application, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
I think that, you know, when the Lutherans embrace homosexual practices, they find, in quotes, Lutheran reasons for doing so. They will invent their own kind of theological rationale for it.
And if we're going to keep science from becoming a force for bad instead of a force for good, you have to have ethical rules.
But the Psalms then especially give us this gift, is that they take all of our hopes and fears, all of our sorrow and our joy, and they bring it into the worship of the Lord Jesus and into the sanctifying power of His name.
That's what we're made for. Christians live on the rough edge and confess Christ.
Next hour, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. The listeners with the best votes will win the LPR bundle package. You can vote live between 4:30 and 5 Central by giving us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC, or vote via Twitter at IssuesETC. Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. It's our series on cultural Marxism. We're talking about pastors waking up to the existence of woke ideology. Pastor Paul Dare is our guest. He recently concluded a Bible study on godless religion. So, Pastor Dare, with everything that we've said to this point, how would you warn against an overreaction to cultural Marxism in the midst of increased racial tensions?
Oh, yeah. We have to keep a close watch. We always do. And this is where, you know, I'd encourage folks to talk to their pastors, you know, to have someone who is there and called by the Lord to be part of examining the heart. Because there is that, you know, when we have enough sins of our own that are real, that we don't need fake sins thrown on us as well. And sometimes the reaction can be a bitterness or an anger. Sometimes it can even turn into a pride. Well, I'm going to be proud, for instance, that I'm white. I'm going to be proud of that. Well, what do we have in Scripture? I keep going back to Christians, we have the beautiful answer. It's called love. That, again, I mentioned, I think, just briefly earlier, the Good Samaritan. I think part of the, you know, the parable there is specifically Samaritan, that here you have Jews and Samaritans who we know really don't care for one another a whole heck of a lot. And yet here's this love that's there. And that, again, I'm suggesting the Good Samaritan, I'm not going to go into the, you know, all the ins and outs of the parable, but it is Jesus himself identifying himself as a hated Samaritan, but yet loves the one who is supposed to be his enemy. And that God has created each person. God has redeemed each person through his Son, and thus we keep seeing love the individual. We see in heaven people from every race and nation and tribe. We see on the day of Pentecost people from all over the world receiving the good news that is for everybody. And the gospel itself, I mean, that God so loved the world. This is, God loves each and every soul. I just keep going on and on. The Good Shepherd, again, and loves each and every sheep and knows them by name. Well, what does that say for us as Christians? Well, that should be the same for us, that each and every person is loved and cherished, that we as Christians have the solution to this big old mess. It's given to us by God. It's in his word. It's found in the cross of his Son. And yes, to listen and understand where people are hurt, that there are people who are hurt, but to listen to that, and at the same time, we hold the truth, and we hold to love. And that's where we need to be. When we start going into then, you know, vengeance, and we start going into, like, any kind of racial pride, we're in a dark, sinful place.
So finally, why does that particular way of viewing the world not only reorient us into God's truth, but also serve as a genuine Christian response to the real oppression and real racism that does exist in our society?
Because when you have that, when that is your response, you can only be filled with humility before God, thankfulness before God. We love the one who first loved us, and then that absolutely has to move us to love our neighbor, because we see that that person over there is a sinner just like me, and God loves that sinner just as God loved me and his Son, and I need to love that person too. I don't know that it's necessarily a whole lot more complicated than that.
Pastor Paul Dare is senior pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Alexandria, Minnesota, and he recently concluded a Bible study series on godless religion. Pastor Dare, thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
In hour two of Issues Etc. on this Friday, April the 23rd, we'll talk church offering plates post-pandemic. There's a religion news service story wondering whether or not, since the offering was moved largely online for many churches, whether that's going to be the new norm. Pastor Heath Curtis, coordinator of LCMS Stewardship, will be our guest. Then we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Give your mom the gift of a clean home for Mother's Day with a gift certificate from The Cleaning Authority. In St. Louis, call 314-416-8117. In the St. Louis Metro East, call 618-213-8296 and be sure to mention issues, etc. Give the gift of time for your mom with a Mother's Day gift certificate from The Cleaning Authority. 314-416-8117 or 618-213-8296.